Well, hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Is there something on your mind, something you'd like to talk about, perhaps a question you'd like to pose? Give us a call right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742. Whether you live in the U.S. or Canada, that's the number, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to read Romans 7:1.
Well, before you do that, how was your trip to Atlanta?
My trip to Atlanta was fantastic. Loved being there. Our radio station there is just fantastic. I love the entire team. They're just doing a fabulous work in the Atlanta, Georgia area.
WDWD.
That's right, 590 on the AM dial. Rick and Dan, they were the ones that interviewed me, and it was their program, and we just had a great time yesterday. Just some laughs, but some serious stuff. I got to tell some stories, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
I really
yeah.
enjoyed being there. And then Mike and Adam and Tiana, the team that really does everything they can to grow the audience and make sure this gospel message is connecting to as many people in Atlanta. They're just doing a fabulous job, and we're really honored to be a part of WDWD.
So
thanks for asking about that.
Well, you bet. I just want to get an update on that, and we're excited about that station.
Yes, we are. Heard you guys had a great time yesterday.
With Andrew,
Saw lots of great comments on Facebook and that sort of thing about the program both yesterday and the day before. So that is fantastic that you guys had some fun too.
Yeah, we did. Absolutely. Anytime Andrew gets on with Richard and you, it's always a good time.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's jump into Romans 7:1. I love how Paul starts this particular verse, "Do you not know?" Now, this is a phrase that he likes to use, and he's making some assumptions. I mean, Christians, you should know this stuff. I shouldn't have to be writing to you about it. I shouldn't have to be teaching you about this. You should know this stuff. And here's what you should know. Do you not know, brothers, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. So how long does the law last? Well, as long as a person lives, for that particular person. And then he goes to talk about marriage. He says, you know, here's an example. So a married woman is bound by law to her husband while he lives. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So there's a law of marriage that he was referring to back in the old covenant that said you needed to stick with your mate for life. And, of course, in marriage today, when somebody goes to the altar and the minister reads, says, you know, you're married forever until death do you part. Mm-hmm. So that's part of the covenant. That's part of the law. Well, what if you marry somebody you don't really like? What if your mate is a real problem? What if your husband's a real jerk? What if your wife is just always on your case about everything, and just life is miserable in that relationship? Well, what are you supposed to do? Well, according to the law, just stick in there. The only way to be released from it is for you to die or for her to die.
Through death, yeah.
And a lot of married people are saying, "Lord, just take me now. Just take me now. I've had enough of this."
Yeah.
But so that's the only way to be released from the law. Now, why is Paul talking about this? Is he really wanting us to get into arguments about marriage and divorce and all that sort of stuff? Absolutely not. He is making a point about something that has happened to us as believers in Christ. We have died in Christ. So we read that in Romans 6 earlier this week and last week, that our old man was crucified with Christ, that we have died to sin. So we have died in Jesus. So what does that mean? That it means that we have been released from the law. Yes. Now, here's the good news of the gospel. The death is only the first chapter. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are baptized into his death, which means the law has been fulfilled on our behalf. Mm-hmm. So the end of the law is death. We died in Christ. Well, the good news is that we come alive in Christ,
yes,
and we're raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, in this newness of life, we live by the power of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. It's a whole new paradigm. It's a whole new way to live. It's a whole new covenant. We're not under the old, we're under the new. We're not under law, we're under grace. Why? Because we have died in Jesus Christ. Sin's not going to die. That's what we were married to. Sin was our master as lost people. So we were under the control, and the law kept us in that unhealthy relationship. Now, sin didn't die, but we died in Christ. So now we've been released from that toxic relationship, and we've been joined to another, Jesus Christ himself. This is great news, isn't it, Richard?
It is, and so often what people miss in this is that we've been freed from the law. We've died to the law, and we think that now we're just kind of fumbling around in the dark someplace. That's not it at all, because there is the resurrection. We've died to the law in Christ, and we are raised to that newness of life, joined to Jesus himself. He joined himself to us. We never have to stumble around without any guidance or help or understanding, because Jesus has taken care of that. All of that information is part of us and being revealed in us.
Yeah, and there's lots of people that once they've died in Christ and come alive in Christ, they want to go back to the law. They want to look to the law as their rule of life.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to live up to these Ten Commandments. I need to follow these rules and regulations. And when you're doing that, you're saying, I want to go back to that old relationship with sin. Why? Because the law is going to stir up sin in you.
Yeah.
And instead of bearing fruit for God, you're going to bear fruit that leads to death. And that's not what God sets you free for. That's not why Jesus Christ saved you. That's not why Jesus Christ raised you up to walk in the newness of life. So you have to let that go. You have to say that I died, and therefore, everything about the law has already been fulfilled,
yes,
as far as I'm concerned. And now I'm over here in this new way of life with Jesus. And so I'm going to put my full attention on Jesus and trust him to lead me, to guide me, to live his life through me. And when he lives his life through me, the law has nothing to say to you or to me. That's why this is so important. And he's saying, don't you know this? If you don't, you really need to know this, because it's the stuff that's going to set you free.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's Basic Gospel, everybody. And Bob Christopher's here, Richard Piper. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad that you joined us today. And we would love for you to join us by phone. We have open lines right now at 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. And friends, if you've ever wondered why the Christian life is not really working for you, well, you share a common question. Many other people have that concern as well. And if that question runs through your mind, you can find answers in Bob Christopher's Harvest House book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. If you order now, it's only $10, and we pay the shipping. You'll find it when you visit basicgospel.net. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Order yours today and find out how the Christian life is really supposed to work. And again, 844-322-2742. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. Overnight, we had this call from Waymimo. Let's listen.
Hello. This is Waymimo from Canada, Alberta, Edmonton. I want to know the difference between tithe and offering. I just listened to your broadcast. We need to differentiate between tithe and offering. Tithe is 10% of your gross income. Offering is a free will gift to somebody or to the church member. So if you can support that, let me know.
It's a great question.
It is.
And, Waymimo, thank you for asking that on today's broadcast. We certainly appreciate hearing from you all the way up in Canada. We love hearing from our Canadian friends. So If any of you in Canada are listening and would like to ask a question, we would love for you to pop on with us.
Sure.
And ask away at 844-322-2742. But as far as this question concerning the difference between tithes and offerings, he made a comment that tithes are 10% of your gross income. Well, really, that's not the official definition of tithe. The word tithe does mean 10%. But for the Israelites, and that's where this word tithe is really applicable to the Israelites, to the people of Israel. This was something they were obligated to do. They were to bring in tithes to the storehouse. Well, what did that mean? That meant cattle, that meant grain, that meant food substances. Some folks could offer up money as a substitute if they were going to have to travel a long way to bring those things to the storehouses, but primarily it was food substances. Now, why was it that? Well, because the tithe served a couple of purposes. One, it was going to provide food for the Levitical priests. So they were dependent upon the other 11 tribes in Israel to take care of them. That's how God set it up. That's how God organized it. And also, these animals and these grains would be used in the worship of the people. Mm-hmm. So they became sacrifices. So the sheep were sacrificed. The goats were sacrificed. And then they were eaten afterwards. And so were the grains. They were offered as sacrifices in the religious worship of the people. Now, this was an obligation. So they were required to do this. This isn't something that they could sit down and say, well, this year we're not going to. No, no, no. This was a part of the Mosaic covenant, a covenant that was initiated by God. He hand wrote the commandments on tablets of stone. He gave 613 total commands. Tithing was a part of it. And when he offered this to the people, they said back to him, everything that you have commanded, we will do. And then it was officially entered into by the shedding of blood. So they agreed to those terms. So this was an obligation that they had assumed in entering into this covenant. So this wasn't something that they could say, yes, I'll do it this year, but no, not next year. This was an obligation. Now, an offering for the people of Israel was something different. That was a free will gift, just as he mentioned. But for us, as believers in Christ, we're not under the Mosaic covenant. Mm-hmm. Most of us are Gentiles. We weren't under it to begin with anyway.
Correct.
We were under the law of sin and death. And then God used the Ten Commandments as a tool to diagnose our spiritual problem so that we would turn to Christ by faith. So now that we have come to Christ by faith, we're in the new covenant. It's a covenant of grace, and the Word of God in the New Testament says that we are to excel in the grace of giving. So this is God's Spirit working in our hearts, moving us to give of our resources to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ and to meet needs around us. So it's not an obligation.
No.
Our giving today is free will giving, motivated by the very grace of God that saved us.
Yes.
So we're not under the old covenant, we're under the new. The tithes were obligations. They had to do that because the law said so.
Yeah.
They gave other things because they wanted to. Mm-hmm. But we're not there, we're in this new covenant. Richard, do you have any thoughts?
Well, it's tragic because the word tithe gets a whole lot of baggage that it doesn't need. For example, when Israel wanted a king, one of the things God said to them through Samuel was, well, don't you realize the king is going to collect a tithe from you?
Yes, that's exactly right.
And it became a tax.
Yes.
He's going to take a tenth of your grain and a tenth of your young men and a tenth of this and a tenth of that. And the people said, well, that's okay because we want to be like the nations around us. And so tithe is a very neutral word. It literally means tenth, and that's all it means. If you want to give a tenth of your money, praise Jesus. If you can afford to give 5%, praise Jesus. If you can afford to give a dollar, praise Jesus. It's by free will now. It's by the grace of God moving in us, and we need to remove all the extra accretions of the centuries from the word tithe. It doesn't. You don't need to be afraid of it. You don't need to worship it. You're not going to get in trouble if you don't pay it. It's all by grace. And the sooner we begin to understand how great this grace is, then we begin to have the internal motivation to support people who need help and ministries who proclaim this grace.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Well, thanks so much for this question.
Yeah, thanks. 844-322-2742. We do have open lines and time on the clock right now. You can still be a part of this edition and give us a call, 844-322-2742. Bob, did you have a...
Well, I do. We have lots of folks watching us on Facebook and YouTube, and they're oftentimes asking questions. Jessica posed this one, and so we want to spend a little time answering it. Is someone a born-again believer in Christ if they drink, have sex outside of marriage, and live a materialistic life?
As a requirement? Is that what you're saying?
that's exactly right.
Yeah, I didn't know that was required.
Yeah, so Jessica, thanks for posing this question on our Facebook page. But so we're equating, and oftentimes it's just what we do as human beings, we equate salvation with behavior. So a Christian is going to behave this way, a non-Christian is going to behave this way. And that's not always the case. But here's what we know. When a person's lost, they are dead spiritually, they follow the ways of this world, and they live to gratify the desires of the flesh. That's their lifestyle. Now, when Jesus Christ saves a person, then he rescues them from that lifestyle. He forgives their sins. He declares them righteous. He recreates them in Christ, makes them alive together with himself, and he comes to live inside of them. So the hope of a different lifestyle is not on us modifying our behavior and trying to clean up the flesh. Our hope for a transformed lifestyle is through faith in Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to. So we have to really get down and recognize that salvation is Christ in you, your hope of glory. Yeah. That's what it really is all about. Now, if you have a friend, if you have someone that says they're a believer and yet is living just like they were before, yeah, then don't necessarily talk to them about their lifestyle. Ask them about the gospel. Ask them what their real understanding of the gospel was when they believed. Mm-hmm. Now, 9 times out of 10, you're going to find that they didn't really understand the gospel, that they thought it was up to them to change, and they tried that for a while, and it didn't work, mm-hmm. so they just went right back to what they were doing before.
Yeah.
So they were frustrated, they were struggling, whatever it might be. Well, what's the answer to that? Well, to give them the real gospel, to give them the real truth, that Christ died to take away their sins, to forgive them, so that he could come and live inside of them. That's what this salvation is all about. So don't try to judge whether they're in Christ or not in Christ. Just ask some questions. Find out what's really going on in their souls. I've said time and time again, Christianity is interested in the souls of men and women. And if that's the case, let's find out what's going on in the souls of men and women. Yeah. So ask some questions. And I think in asking those questions, you're going to find out that somebody may not have understood the gospel and may have responded to a Jesus of their own imagination, a Jesus that was presented to them that doesn't meet that's not the same Jesus that's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. and you have the opportunity to give them truth and to see that truth set them free.
Absolutely. Yeah, when I was wrestling with this several years ago, one of the things that got me thinking finally in the right direction was that I knew people, I knew they were atheists. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus or anybody else. They were really, really nice people.
Yeah.
Well, if I was going to look at them behaviorally, I had to say they're saved, but they didn't want Jesus at all. And then I read in Romans 14, that anything that doesn't come from faith is sin. So I can behave perfectly. I can be a really nice guy and do all the right things. And if I'm doing them in my own strength, it's pointless, completely pointless. And so I had to take the behavioral definition away from my life and say, who is in charge of my life? Am I in charge or is Jesus? And when I finally let Jesus be in charge, then I began to see some of the changes I had wanted all along, because the motivation changes, yeah. The power changes. I didn't have any power before.
Right.
I've got power now.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. Well, Jessica, thank you for asking that question. It was really, really good and insightful. Well, let's go down to Bastrop, Texas, and talk to Aaron. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Well, doing fantastic. How are you? What's on your mind?
Doing great. I got a quick question. What is the difference between the human spirit and the human and the soul? The spirit and the soul. And I'm gonna get off and listen to your answer, please. Thanks for taking my question.
Well, you're welcome, Aaron. Thanks for your call today. Well, I look at the difference between the spirit and soul as this. The spirit is the deepest part of the human entity. It's the part that longs for meaning and purpose, that longs for unconditional love, unconditional acceptance. It's the part of us that died to God in the garden.
Yes.
So when Adam and Eve sinned, they died spiritually. And that's why we see time and time and time throughout the New Testament that we are dead in transgressions and sins. That means our spirit is not connected to God's spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, the soul is human personality, basically. It's where we express who we are out there in the world.
Yeah.
So it's made up of mind, emotion, and will. It's some of the things that we think, the things that we choose, and the things that we feel. And since we were dead spiritually, we were left to express who we are through all of the input we receive from the world in which we lived in that comes to us through our five senses. So that's how we were directed as human beings in the lost condition. When we're born again, our spirit comes to life. Our spirit is now connected in union with God's Holy Spirit. And in that union, God feeds truth through our human spirit into our minds that transforms us, and then everything flows from there. So that's the difference between spirit and soul. Spirits is the part of us, the piece of us that says, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? The soul is the part of us that expresses who we are out there in the world.
Yeah. Aaron, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling. And friends, we have an open line for you just about any time, 24 hours a day at 844-322-2742. Want you to check out the information on our May-June 2019 visit to the Holy Land, Israel and Jordan, as a matter of fact. Just click that banner at the top of our homepage at basicgospel.net to get all the information. Also, remember, friends, that if you've ever wondered why your Christian life is not exactly working for you, well, you're not alone. The answer can be found in Bob Christopher's Harvest House book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And we have them for only $10, and we pay the shipping. You'll find it when you visit basicgospel.net, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Or you can order by phone at 844-322-2742. Again, that number available at all times. Order yours today and find out how the Christian life really is supposed to work. Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And remember, too, if you have a question, call that number, 844-322-2742, as Way Mimo. And another caller that we didn't quite get to today, that we'll get to tomorrow, but you can call that number anytime. We'd love to hear from you. Well, for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for that wonderful marriage series that continues, The Grace Guide to Marriage, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.